May the words that I speak and the words that you hear be Christ's words. Amen. Have a seat, everyone. So last week, we had a reading. The gospel reading was from John, and it was his first public act that John wanted to record in his gospel, and that was the changing water into wine. Now, Luke has highlighted a different act as Jesus' first act of ministry, public act, and it's really not a public act, it's a bit of a sermon. Now, as in the reading, we've learned that Nazareth is the place where Jesus came, and it was a fairly large agricultural village that sat in a major trade route, and it was close to the capital of Galilee. And the custom in that place for the synagogue would have been for people to come in on the Sabbath, which was a Saturday. And if there was a rabbi, they would have stood up and read the scroll, and then they would have sat down to explain it to the people. And that's basically what's happening in there. Jesus has come in to his home community. He's been given the scroll to read. He sits down, and he talks. And he says something really surprising. He reads a quotation that refers to the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that brought him to Nazareth, the same Holy Spirit that guides and empowers people for prophetic ministry. And in that quotation, the Spirit of the Lord is resting on the speaker, who would have been the person in the story that Isaiah was writing about. So the Spirit of the Lord is resting on that speaker to proclaim good news to the poor, those that are economically disadvantaged and marginalized, and also to other people, prisoners, the blind, the oppressed, and also people who might be considered poor. And what's this good news? And what is the year of God's favor? Now, in first century Judaism, the text would have been interpreted as a time of liberation and restoration. So in the Israelites' culture, it didn't run like our culture today. Like you couldn't have a debt that would last forever. Things could only go so far, and then everything was reset. 50 years, the year of the Jubilee, debts were forgiven, indentured people were given away, were sent back home. Land that had been purchased was given back to its original people, because they didn't act the way we did. When someone bought land from a person in Israel who had historic rights to the land, they basically bought it until the next Jubilee, because then it went back to the family. The different, totally different concept. So if there really was this sense of liberation and freedom, we get to start again. So that's the year of God's favor. When he finished the reading, Jesus was saying that the scripture was fulfilled in their presence. And what he meant was that he was fulfilling that prophecy. He's the one who had been anointed to preach and proclaim the good news of God. And in the chapters ahead in Luke, we get to find out what that means. We're going to see him teaching and healing and living out the good news so that people can understand the salvation that God brings. And these words that we heard today about Jesus in Luke are essentially his life, ministry, and purpose in a nutshell. The text reveals who Jesus is, what Jesus will do, and for whom Jesus has come. I have to cough. And I don't want to blow your ears off. In a sense, this scene is Jesus' inaugural address. And I use that because we have an example of an inaugural address that happened on Monday. Yes. But historically, let's go historically, President Lincoln had an inaugural address. His second inaugural address was where he talked about how he could lay out a vision for the end of slavery, the evils of slavery. And to be fair, in the United States, laid out a vision of what the future need is going to be over the next 3 or 4 years when the president gave his inaugural address. And In a sense, Jesus talks about, with that quote, some of his priorities, but it's more than that. He lays out a vision of the kingdom of God, a vision of what could be, and a promise of God's aid and presence. And it's good news, but the challenge with Jesus is it always upsets the status quo. So is it good news for everyone? Well, if you think your life is pretty comfortable, if you've got everything sorted and you don't really need anyone's help, it might not be as good news as it would be for other people. And is it good news if someone rejects it? You see, I think there's a challenge here because we spend so much time in our culture, and I'm sure it was the same back then, 2,000 years ago, telling us that we got everything all together. We spend money to look better, feel better, to get fitter. And there's so much pressure in our society to be strong and independent. I mean, that's kind of it's not like an idol. Everyone wants to be strong and independent. So how easy is it going to be for Jesus' message to be heard by a culture that doesn't think they need it? They think they have it all together. Except for one thing. The stories we tell ourselves about being perfect, the commercials that tell us we can really have it all, the ads that promise us health and security, well, they're all false. And deep down, we know it. So to hear the good in Jesus' news, we need to accept that we're not who we want to be, we're not who we can be, and we're not who we should be. And without Jesus' help, we never will be. And when we can admit our need, when we can be honest about our deep hurts, fears, and longings, three things happen. First, we feel an immense freedom simply from admitting the truth. Bad news, when it's true, is always better than an attractive lie. It's much, much better to live in reality than to live in some constructed fake reality. And secondly, when we live in reality and we understand where we are and what our relationship is with God, we are able to receive the help and comfort that God offers to us to release us from captivity, to restore sight, to provide healing, freedom, and more. And third, we don't just receive it, we become vessels, we become people who can invite others to participate as well, to become good news for the world. And I think this, in a sense, is what the body of Christ and the community of faith is. God's hands delivering the promise of good news to everyone in need. Are you afraid? Well, come to the body of Christ to find courage. Are you lonely? Come join the community of faith. Isolated? We'll visit you. Discouraged? Let's meet and encourage each other. Ill, come here. Or better, let's come to you to care for you. It can look and feel different depending on the situation, what this good news is. And we're invited to respond to different needs in different ways, but we are the vessel. And the call to be the body of Christ, to be good news around us, it's the same. So how do you hear Jesus' words? How do you hear Jesus' words calling us to be the body of Christ here at St. John the Evangelist? How do you hear Jesus' words inviting us to live out and offer good news to those we meet? Because, you know, God comes for everyone, both the perfect and the imperfect, the healthy and the ill, the righteous and the unrighteous, and the strong and the weak. But most of all, we need to remember that God comes for you. God comes for us. And our question is, how will we respond? Amen.